There's no place like home.
Now on WGN.FM, the G, the housing guru. It's the David Hochberg Show.
Thank you, Mr. Manley. My name is David Hochberg, the housing guru at WGN Radio. And now officially, as of this morning at 5:45 a.m., WGN TV. Had a great experience there this morning at 5:45, answering people's questions about credit. Talking about credit with Daniel Ponce. Thank you, Mr. Jones, my producer in the other room is giving me, you know, applause. That's very nice of you. 312, yeah, that and a buck and a half will get you nothing. 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600, text line, 312-521-8600, same phone number. We had a great credit enhancement seminar last week at Victoria Banquets Beaujolais in Chilla Park. I want to thank all those fine folks at Victoria Banquets. Eric, the banquet manager, did a fine job setting up the room and fitting in over 300 people and having and hosting an amazing event. People that attended were very, very, very appreciative of the information that we provided. And if you want information about the seminar, you could shoot me an email, thehousingguru@wgnradio.com, thehousingguru@wgnradio.com. We're going to post a video to WGN.FM and also to the Townstone Financial website, our YouTube page, so you could check it out. And I'll be more than happy to download and email you, I should say, the presentation so you could follow along. It was 2 hours on the nuts, and we got everybody in and out and answered a bunch of questions. So I've got the questions here. I've got the presentation in front of me. We're going to go over a couple of points that people seem to we're the most interested in, I should say. So we're going to cover that during the show. 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. Lauren Shue's on the phone. Lauren, Realtor, Exit Realty. How are you, Lauren?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Sorry for your loss.
That's okay.
Deeply saddened with the passing of your grandmother, so I'm sorry for that.
Thank you. It was a rough week, but family's through it. We're doing good.
All right, so let's talk about real estate. One of the questions that Daniel Ponce on Channel 9 News asked me this morning was, what's going on with the market? Is it a good time to buy? And I gave my answer, and I'll throw that out to you. Do you think it's a good time to buy? Today is a good time to buy as opposed to yesterday, or should people wait a year from now?
I think now is definitely a good time to buy. I wouldn't wait a year from now because I do see inventory starting to dry up. It's been like that over the last year. We're starting to see a lot of, like, for instance, I do a lot of business in South Loop, and a couple of years ago there was just 80 condos in one building for sale, and it was so tough to get them sold. Right now there's 15 in that building for sale, and we're talking a 400-unit building. So that's the difference in what's available out there, and things are going really quickly. Today, just before I called, I was actually just working on listing a new place. I'm listing a referral from you, single family home in Highland Park, 6 bedrooms, 4.5 baths, a block from the lake, walking distance to the synagogue. I'm going to put it on for $825. I'm going to activate it in about 5 minutes, and that's a short sale.
Short sale for $825.
Highland Park, yeah, huge home, new kitchen. Baths could use some updating, but they are very nice. They're livable, and, you know, they're decent, but they could use some updating. But the kitchen's newer. It's a 6-bedroom home, and you could be in Highland Park for $825.
And that home, if it wasn't on a short sale back in the bam bam go go days of craziness between 2002 and 2007, before everything hit the wall, what would that house have gone for back in the day?
The seller told me that he had refinanced it at one point, and it appraised for around $1.8 million. Crazy.
What?
It's crazy. If you see this house, it's gorgeous. It's one of the it's one of the first homes ever built in Highland Park, so it's historic. It has reduced taxes due to it being a historic home. And at one point, I do believe him. I mean, this house is huge. It's gorgeous. It's a really beautiful home.
One block from the lake. And all because it's a block away from the synagogue, it doesn't mean that Gentiles shouldn't apply. It's a beautiful house.
Yeah.
You don't have to be Jewish to buy that beautiful house a block away from the lake. I live in Northbrook, as you know, and I go to Highland Park, I don't know, a couple times a month for my dentist is downtown. We took the kids to the Glencoe Beach a couple of weeks ago, so I'm very familiar with downtown Highland Park. And to buy something that close to the lake in that shape in this market for $825,000. How much? $825 or $850?
I'm going to list it for $825, and I do think the bank appraisal on the short selling will come in right around $825.
Wow.
I looked at all the comps. I got two opinions from two other realtors. I went and picked up a friend of mine and got an opinion from them that works out there just to make sure I was comping it correctly, and that's what we both agreed to. The comps support it. And it's a beautiful house. That's what you can get into Highland Park for. And no, I didn't mean, you know, you have to be,
Jewish
or walk to the synagogue whatsoever. But, I mean, the family that I'm selling the house for isn't Jewish at all. But it is nice that there is any families out there that do want to walk to the synagogue. I mean, it's a block.
Right.
So I know that's important to a lot of people that walk on Saturdays. So.
And it's also close to the train station downtown. It's close to all the downtown shopping. It's close to all the downtown community activities, because there's a ton of community activities going on in Highland Park downtown. So if they want to reach you to check out this listing, what phone number should they reach you at?
312-909-1329.
All right, let me ask you about general market question. The condo market, you said, it went from 50-plus or 80-plus down to 16 in the same building as it was last year or the year before. What have you seen in pricing and the pricing increases in that building? Is it up 20%, 50%, 40%? Where have the prices gone as the inventory has dropped?
In that building, I'm going to say it's probably 25 to 30% in that building. I mean, if you want this building that I'm talking about that I was referencing to, maybe I shouldn't use that one as a main example just because it did get built right during the height of the market. And it was being delivered during the crash. So maybe that's not the best example. I'll give you an example of some one bedrooms that I'm selling over at 12th and State.
Yeah.
And it's really near Roosevelt and State Street. So about 3 years ago, I was selling one bedrooms there for low 200, like 195. I think one of them went for, and one of them 205. And right now, those are going for about 250, 260.
250, 260. So the market's definitely come back.
You're right. It's definitely coming back. It's getting a lot better. I would say most the average market time now, if you're priced right, is probably top 3 to 4 months if you're priced right. Some of it even less. I mean, most things I've been able to get under contract within a month. Just depends on how you're priced.
312-642 is the wrong phone number. 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600. Phone line, text line. You have any questions about Chicago real estate, any questions about short sales, any questions about buying or selling a home? Lauren Shue. Whoa, I think I swallowed a mosquito. Lauren Shue. Wow, I think I swallowed a shoe. Lauren Shue from Exit Realty. So I was also, so here's my response. I go, I told Daniel Ponce on WGN News this morning, the core has come back. The core has recovered. Which means center Chicago is going on out. What does that mean? Gold Coast, you start going west, right? You start going to Niles.
Yeah.
Niles, Saginaw, going north, Morton Grove, Niles, Glenview, Northbrook, Highland Park, Deerfield, Riverwoods, all back. Going south all the way out to Burr Ridge is completely back. Downers Grove going further west, right? Going southwest to the Darien's, Willowbrook. It's all back. And what's happening is, you know, the market's back when you start seeing homes in Romeoville, for God's sakes, that just got that town got absolutely annihilated.
Yeah, crushed.
And you couldn't buy a home for $80,000 to $90,000 if you tried because they were going for $50,000 to $60,000. Now those same homes that were going for 50 and 60 that people were trying to sell for 80 and 90 that were getting 50 and 60 are now getting 120 to 140.
I believe it.
Which means that everything out to Romeoville now has been recovered. Now you're going further out to the Bolingbrooks. Now you're going out to the Joliets, the Plainfields, the Moniz, Mantinos, Manhattans. All that stuff, Lauren, is coming back. And what happens? You have to get the inside the circle done first. You have to get the core done first. Once the core got done, then the people will start jumping out back to the Auroras. Okay, I talked to Gary Novell, our credit enhancement expert. He's telling me the properties around him, you could have gotten four houses for the price of one, two, 3 years ago, are now back to where they were almost prior to 08 when everything went to heck in a handbasket. And it's just a natural functioning of the market. What's the biggest advice you could give somebody right now, the best and largest advice that you could give somebody that is looking to put their home on the market?
Make sure that they have a realtor that they've done. Make sure they have a good realtor and they've done their homework. Make sure that this person knows their values, knows the market, and make sure you see what type of advertising and marketing they're going to do online. And compare. Don't just get one opinion. Get a couple opinions, because some realtors just have very basic marketing. They'll tell you, oh, our office puts it on Realtor.com, puts it on Zillow, puts it on Trulia. That may be true, but that realtor might not be, might not have enough ratings on Trulia and Zillow to get the leads off your home. Therefore, that realtor won't actually be able to capture the actual buyer looking for your home. It'll be other random people capturing those leads. So make sure that you do your homework.
Redfin is another kind of like Trulia, Redfin, all those places where they pull other people's listings. They'll pull your listing down.
And
they'll market it and put the face on and put the face of another realtor
on their listing. Yeah.
Right. Now,
so if you hire, for instance, if you hire me with Exit Realty Redefined, we have a marketing department in our office that actually goes into the back end of those websites and does all the marketing on Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com, and make sure that my information is pushed up to the top of my own listing. And some of the ways, you know, to get those ratings are things that we do internally that would take too long to put on the radio. But it's a way to make sure that when I list your home and a buyer is interested in it, I get the call and I know what I'm talking about your home. Not some random realtor just setting up a showing that's never seen your home and doesn't know what to tell the buyer.
What about the other listing, my other referral in Highland Park, the single family house for like $350? What's going on with that? Is that still available?
Under contract. It's under contract, actually. Another realtor is purchasing it, and we're waiting on the bank to appraise it. I'm expecting that call any day now.
Right.
So as soon as the bank appraises it, we'll hear back whether or not this offer is going to work out.
So let's talk about that transaction real quick. One of my good friends and clients gave me a call saying, hey, going through a divorce, houses, I'm upside down the house. I'm going to have to bring money in. I don't have the money. I'm probably going to go bankrupt. Can you help me? And he's like, I said, sure, call up Lauren. So what does he do? One of my best friends. He calls up a local realtor in Highland Park who lists his house at like 430, 420, 430. I'm like, dude, you're never going to get 420, 430 for your house. He's like, how do you know? I'm like, how long has it been on the market? He's like, 8 weeks. I'm like, how many offers did you get? He's like, none. I'm like, your house ain't worth 420, 430, okay? In this market, if it's priced right, Lauren, it's going to go. And
right.
He dicked around for literally 4 to 5 months going back and forth. His old realtor tried to guilt trip him into using her and everything else, and walk us through that process. You know, how did that go down? Divorce situation. The father of the woman of his soon to be ex wife was on the mortgage. Let's not name any names, but walk us through that convoluted, screwed up transaction.
Well, the situation was they had financial hardship due to the economy and their jobs, and they were getting a divorce, and they couldn't make ends meet, and ended up missing some mortgage payments, so they were technically in foreclosure. Anytime you're not paying your mortgage after 3 or 4 months, it's considered in foreclosure. The bank will, about the fourth month, serve you a notice of default and kick off foreclosure proceedings. They were messing around with another agent that was trying to sell it as a resale to get highest and best out of it, which is, you know, fine to try, but it was just unrealistic. The house wasn't worth that at all. And what they were doing is just sitting there wasting time, getting missed mortgage payments, whacked on their credit every month by messing around. So they had called me up through you and asked to meet with me and ask about my specialty in short sales and how does it work and what's the situation. I explained it all to them, and it turns out that their house is worth significantly less than they own the mortgage, and they showed them that and proved it looking at all the comps. So we need to get going now and stop messing around, because the longer you wait, you don't have time on your side. You need time on your side when you're going through this process. So after I met with them, they said, oh, you know, my dad co-signed on one of the loans. Is that a problem? because he doesn't live here. It's not a big deal, right? Well, no, it is a big deal. Anybody on the mortgage is part of the short sale. So just because he doesn't live there or did it to be the nice dad or you have a friend that co-signs for you, anyone on the mortgage when you're doing a short sale is responsible for the debt. So I had to get two short sale packages, one from the husband and wife that were getting a divorce and one from the father-in-law. And they have two loans. On one of the other loans, the father-in-law is not on it. It's just one of them. So for that person, it was I only need a short sale package for them. So what I did is we got it on the market at the price it should have been at in the first place to sell what it's worth. It went under contract in just a couple weeks. We got a solid buyer that went through attorney review and inspection, isn't going anywhere. I have all their earnest money, and we submitted it to the bank. And now I'm waiting for the bank to come out and appraise the home. So basically, after the bank appraises the home, they're either going to accept this offer or they're going to counter it. And they're going to go work off of whatever it appraises for. Not necessarily what it's worth, whatever it appraises for. So what they owe doesn't really matter. The bank will go off what the current market value is today. And that's how they'll start their negotiations on what they're going to take for this home. So I'm waiting for the appraisal.
Phone lines are open, 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. It's a text line. And it's also the phone line. It's also the text line. It's also the phone line, 312-521-8600. Lauren Shue, Exit Realty. So you basically took that transaction that was originally listed at 420 that I told my friend, he's out of his flipping mind. It's never going to go for 420 because it was on the market for like literally 3 months without one offer. And you're going to sell it in the neighborhood of what? How much?
I got to check my MLS. They have a lot of listings. I think you listed that around 355, somewhere in there. And that's what it's realistically worth. And I know when I got the first offer, one of them didn't want it. One of the sellers, there's three sellers, keep in mind, because three people are on the mortgage. One said, fine, let's try it. The other one didn't want to take it. That's too low. What I said to them is, it's not up to you if it's too low. It's up to the bank. The bank is going to come out and appraise it. You don't even know what you need. You don't know what price you need right now because the bank hasn't done their appraisal. So are there comps to support this offer? Yes, there are. There's plenty of them. So it's worth taking. It's not a low ball. It's within market value.
Hang on. We've got a text message here from an 847. What is a short sale? I don't understand what you're talking about. So, Lauren, what is a short sale? So 847 can know what you're talking about. Well, what we're talking about.
A short sale is any time the bank settles for less than the seller owes on the mortgage. So, for instance, this house, they owe like $420 on their mortgage, but the house is really worth $350, and they do not have the cash to bring the closing to cover the $70,000 plus closing costs plus realtors. They don't have that money to cover the difference, and they need to sell this house. So I'm selling it for them, and I'm asking the bank to agree to the shortage and settle their account. So I'm asking the bank, hi, Mr. Bank, here's an offer for $350. Will you take this offer and settle their account, meaning will you not come after them for the difference? That's the important part. You need to get a settled account. If they just plain old foreclose on the house and they don't try to do a short sale and the bank eventually forecloses, the bank can pursue them for the entire difference. I believe it's up to 10 years. So they might knock on your door 5 years later and go, hi, you foreclosed on this house. Do you remember us? Oh, yeah, I have people tell me all the time, well, I just gave it back to the bank. I just gave it to them. Well, yeah, you did, but it doesn't mean you're not on the hook for the difference.
All right, I got another text here from a 630. What happens to the shortage after the home sold? So in this example, I'll just give an example. Home is worth $300,000. Borrower owes $400,000. 630 wants to know what happens to the $100,000 that the bank's going to eat. Is the bank going to eat it, or is the consumer going to eat it? Who?
The bank writes it off. So basically, the bank says, my loss is your gain. Pretend I'm the bank, and I just lost $70,000. The bank will 1099 the seller who sold the house, who did the short sale. The bank will 1099 them the $70,000 and write it off. Now, what does the seller do with that 1099? As long as they're, the way we understand it, David, right, because we called my accountant
yep. In
January, the way that we understand it, as long as a seller can prove that they're insolvent, they won't have to pay income tax on that 1099. And insolvency is basically add up all the debt that you have, including what that house was worth, any car loans, credit card debt, everything. Do you have enough liquid cash to pay all of it off? Most people don't, or they wouldn't be calling me to do a short sale.
Right.
If they don't have enough liquid cash, then they're considered insolvent, and they shouldn't have to pay on that 1099. It's pretty much a wash.
And the bottom line is this: check with your CPA or tax preparer, because you don't want to take any tax advice from
right.
us. But that right. is what your CPA. We did have him on. I forgot the gentleman's name. What was the gentleman's?
Peter.
Peter. It was
that's the way we understand it, right?
Right. No.
Disclaimer: check with your accountant. But that's the basics of how we understand it.
Because Peter came on the show and explained it that way in January when they eliminated the law of where consumers can write off the difference on their taxes and not be liable for it. Now they let that law expire, so Congress protected the banks and screwed over the consumers again. So isn't that wonderful? 312-521-8600 is the phone line. 312-521-8600 is the text line. Great text question. So if you had to leave our listeners with one tip about real estate, albeit short sales, buying a home, selling a home, what's the one nugget you would leave them before you hang up and list that $800,000-plus home in Highland Park?
I would say make sure you have an experienced realtor on your side. People think all the time that they can do it on their own, and they're making one of the largest investments of their life most times. It's one of the biggest investments they have is their home or their home and that second investment property. And you better make sure you're working with somebody that knows what they're doing to guide you through it. Make sure if you're buying a condo that you're getting in a good building, that the realtor is not aware of any big special assessments. And if you're getting into a home, make sure you have a realtor that knows the values. Make sure you do an inspection. Make sure you do your homework.
And your phone
That's
number? And your phone number, my friend? 312-909-1329. One more time?
312-909-1329.
You have a website.
LaurenProperties.com.
LaurenProperties.com. Send my best and my condolences to your family, to your mom.
Thank you, David.
And we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
Thanks. Take it easy. 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600. We had a credit enhancement seminar last week, and over 300 people attended. So I want to thank all of the listeners for attending. And for those of you that could not attend, we have a video of the event that will be up online at WGN.FM and also on our website, townstone.com, as soon as the fine folks in the production department here at WGN Radio get it all edited and cleaned up. We'll get it up and running. I have a text question. What is a credit score? Great question, 224. Credit score is this. Your credit score is a number that indicates to lenders and creditors alike how likely you are to pay back the debt you owe based on your past borrowing behavior. So it basically goes like this. If you have a lot of credit and you charge a lot of money, or you charge a little money and you pay it all back, your credit will go up. If you have a lot of credit and you don't pay it back on time, or you carry large balances, your credit will go down. Why? Listen closely. Your score is a number that indicates to lenders and creditors how likely you are to pay back the debt you owe based upon your past borrowing behavior. So if you have a ton of balances on your credit card debt, your score will be lower because it indicates to lenders and creditors that you are probably not likely to pay that back if you carry large balances. It's that simple. The higher your credit score, the more likely it is that you will pay back the money you borrow from lenders and creditors, and that this will allow you to secure the lowest rates because your credit scores will be higher. The people with the higher credit scores get rewarded with lower rates. Why? Because they're less risk to somebody with lower credit scores. So here's we had a great question from a guy by the name of John. John wanted to know, what is a good credit score? Okay, so here are the ranges. 312-521-8600 if you have any questions about credit. You could also text us at that same number. Here's the ranges. The credit scores range from 350 to 850, 350 to 850. Anything 720 equal to or greater than 720 is an excellent credit score. If you have 800 and you want to get wondering why you want to go up, how come it's not higher, you should really worry about other things in your life, because 800, anything that starts with an 8, you're in the upper 0.1%. Okay, braggart? So let's not get crazy, all right? Anything really north of 740 is outstanding. Anything less than or equal to, I'm sorry, equal to or greater than 720 is excellent. Good, the category of good, is anything from the scores of 660 to 719. That's a decent rate. That's a good rate. That's a good credit score. So that's good. You'll get decent rates, all right rates. Fair is 620 to 659. You're going to start paying extra. And it's going to start costing you a ton of money being in this. Because Jimmy Towns is on last weekend, my Allstate insurance agent. And I asked him, I said, Jimmy, what's the difference between a 720 credit score and a 620 credit score when it comes to homeowners insurance and car insurance? Without hesitation, 50% increase in the premium between 100 points and your credit score. So if you want lower rates in terms of paying insurance premium, and you want lower rates on your credit cards, and you want lower rates on your loans, you'll get your 620 up to 720 as fast as possible. Easier said than done, I understand, but it just giving you facts here. 312-521-8600. Website is WGN.FM. You can send me an email at thehousingguru@WGNradio.com. Poor is anything equal to or less than 619. Once you get under 619, you got a little work to do. Why? Because the actuary tables have shown anybody with the under a 620 has got less of a chance of ever paying stuff back, and that's why you pay higher rates because it's a higher risk. I know it sounds backwards. People with terrible credit should get lower rates, so they should pay back their debt faster. Well, what's been shown is that if you give people with 619 and below more credit, they'll just load it up and not pay it back. So, yeah, reverse thinking there. 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. Here's a question from Joyce. Joyce sends in a question. How can I remove collections from my credit report after they've been satisfied? It's a great question. And here's the deal. Whenever you're working with a credit agency or a collection agency, get it in writing what the offer is. Why? Because these companies are bottom feeders. These companies are in business to collect the debt. These companies get a percentage of whatever they collect. These companies couldn't give a damn if you were breathing or lying on the side of the road with your head cut off. All they want is to get money out of you. So when you talk to a collection company and you're talking to somebody on the other line, ask them, him or her, to send you a letter stating what they would accept to satisfy the debt. Okay, just ask them to send you a letter. Well, when you get the letter, at least you have something in writing. Then once you get that letter in writing, you then wire or pay by phone, do whatever, get a cashier's check, and send them the funds, okay? And then once you get that, send them the letter and they cash the check, ask them to send you back a letter stating that the account's paid in full. Most of them won't. Some of them will. Now, here's a trick that David Emery, Chief Operating Officer of TransUnion, said. Try to get them, the collection agencies, to remove the collection when you pay them off. And how do you get them to do that? Ask them to write in the letter that upon payment, we are going to tell the credit reporting agencies to remove this collection. It's a simple 2, 3, 4, 5 words, one sentence. We will remove the collection from your report. It doesn't hurt the collection company one bit if they remove it or not. Once they get their dough, you've got a much better shot of having them remove it while you're trying to satisfy the debt when you request the letter. It's a little trick of the trade that David Emery talked about on Thursday night when we were there talking about credit. Okay, so call up the collection company. Doesn't matter if you pay it in full or you work out some type of deal where you're going to pay for pennies on the dollar. See if they will write a letter that the account's been paid off, there's a zero balance, and we are removing it from the credit agencies. If you could get that letter or any type of letter, you got to get a letter after you pay them. Maybe they won't take it off, maybe they will. But when you pay it off, get a letter, then get that letter and send it to the three major credit bureaus to have them update your account. Because if you don't, there's going to be no proof that that was taken off. The phone numbers for TransUnion is... The phone number for TransUnion is 800-916-8800. Experian is 224-698-5600. And Equifax, 800-685-1111. Email for TransUnion. And these companies would much rather have you upload any type of letter to their websites because they'll remove it faster, less manpower, women power, person power, to process your request if you do it online. Dispute.transunion.com. Experian is Experian.com, and Equifax is Equifax, EQUIFAX.com/FCRA. Fair Credit Reporting Act is what FCRA stands for. And that's what you have to do. There it is in a nutshell. If you ever want to get a collection off of your credit report, you have to get a letter. And hopefully they'll give you a letter stating that it will be removed in full, because that really helps out your credit report and your credit scores. 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. You're listening to The Housing Guru Show on WGN.FM. My name is David Hochberg. I am the housing guru at not only WGN Radio, but also, as of today, WGN TV. I'm real proud of that, real happy of that. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. The Housing Guru Show, WGN.FM. David Hochberg here to answer your questions. 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600. Phone line and text line. You don't even have to think about that. 312-521-8600, phone and text. Bring it on. Half hour left. Billy, how are you, bud?
Doing all right today. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. You just got a loan done, didn't you?
Yeah, we just got a loan done from my father with the help of Jose.
How's your father like his new house?
Oh, he's digging it. He's keeping himself busy unpacking boxes, but all's good.
How old's your dad?
He's 74.
Well, that's what 74-year-old men should do, right? Start unpacking boxes, put them in a nice recycling thing. It's only 80 degrees out, nice hot and humid day for 74-year-old guy to start unpacking. That's great. You got, what do you want him, to have a freaking stroke or something, Billy? What the heck's going on?
No. He wants to get the boxes out of the way so he can set up all of his equipment in the garage and continue building furniture. So
I understand.
You can't keep that man down. You can't keep him down.
So what was it like having us help you with the loan?
Oh, it was fantastic, actually. I've bought a few houses myself in the past, and I guess the one thing that really stood out to me was just, how much attention was paid towards, it almost seemed as though I was the only person Jose was working with,
Jose is one of my guys. Hang on.
Jose Rodriguez.
He's one of my loan officers.
Yeah. And, returning calls, answering calls, emails. So whatever it took, Jose called me one time. I'm a garbage man, so I'm working, real early in the morning. Well, he gets up, he calls me at 6:45 on a Friday morning. Hey, Bill, I got out of bed a little bit earlier. I was working on this for you, see if I can get this rolling a little quicker for you. I mean, I was just blown away by, the service. I've never dealt with any financial person that, took care of me like he did. It was insane.
Your father got a loan as a 73-year-old man. And what type of loan do we put him into? Do we put him into a 15 or do we put him into a 30?
A 30-year.
Okay. Now, I just want you to stop right there. 74 or 75? How old's your pop?
He's 74.
74 years old. And at the end of this loan, God bless him, if he's still with us, he's going to be 104 years old. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to understand, because I get calls from people 60, 70, 80 years young all the time. I need a 10-year loan. I'm never going to be alive. I don't want a 30. I'm going to be dead by the time it's due. And I'm just like, what the hell are you talking about? They're like, nobody's going to give me a 30-year fixed loan. And there's something called the Fair Housing Act. Okay, Bill. That, you might not be familiar with, because, you operate a very heavy piece of equipment that is not very much appreciated. I appreciate you, because you don't want me picking up your garbage, because I will go through buildings because I don't know how to operate that freaking truck. Okay. So, but, people are under the assumptions that because you're 74 years young, you need to go into a 10 or a 15 because I'm never going to make it to be 100 years old and I got to pay the loan off before I'm dead. And that's just flat wrong. If you qualify for a 30 or a 40 and you're 95, God bless you. I'm going to put you into a 30-year loan. And if you make it to 124 or 134, whatever, I don't care. But, people think, put themselves in a box because they think they have to go into certain loans because of their age. And I'm glad you called about your pop. Your pop's 74 years young, and he did what he had to do because it was the best product for him, and going into a 30-year fixed loan kept that payment down for him. How important is that lower payment to your dad in that house?
Well, here, I'll tell you this. A little more than a year ago, my mother passed away. So my father is left there alone in this house, which was huge. Now, between a home equity loan and his mortgage payment, along with, you know, $12,000 plus in property taxes a year, he was paying almost $2,500 a month to live in that house.
Wow. $2,500 a month to live alone in a house?
Yeah. And so we downsized a little bit. We got him into this newer, smaller house. And he's only paying $730 a month. We've knocked almost $2,000 a month out of his budget.
And what's that going to be able to do for your pop?
It's gonna do wonders. He's going to be doing a lot of fishing is what he's going to be doing.
As well he should. That's good. Good for him. Good for him. Do you have any other comments you want to leave our listeners out there with that about, you know, the professionalism and, you know, we don't stop, man. I mean, we're like rabid bulldogs when it comes to a loan.
The word relentless comes to mind. I mean, it was Jose wasn't going to stop until this was done. And, you know, it almost felt like overkill, but, you know, how can you say that about service? You can't really say overkill about service. I mean, he was just right on top of every single little thing that needed to be done. And then he was making sure he was on top of me because I was doing all the running for the paperwork and all of that, you know, so my dad didn't have to do it.
Right.
So he was on top of me, too. He said, hey, you got them papers? Yeah, I got those papers. I got them right here. You know?
I got your papers.
he was great. I mean, I've referred already three or four of my friends to him that were looking to, you know, redo their loans and such like that. And I can't say enough about it. It was just a fantastic experience, you know, and not too many people would say that about having to deal with papers and numbers and money.
Right. Well, I tell people, I've been doing this since August of 2000, Billy, and back in August 2000, you know, if I saw fog on a mirror and I got a pulse underneath your nose, and I got a pulse in your wrist or on your neck, I could pretty much get you a loan. Now, you know, we've got to do DNA sampling. I need you to spit in a cup, urinate in a cup. I need a piece of hair to run DNA. I mean, it's ridiculous. But
yeah, it was probably back in 2000, the last house that I had bought, and coming into this process with my dad, I quickly realized that there were a whole lot of changes in the world of getting a home loan.
You're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy, right? You're not in Kansas anymore? That's,
yeah. Not anymore, no.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
But Jose made the process a lot more easier than I can imagine it would be otherwise.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to work with you and your pop, and it was very kind of you to send that heartfelt email.
I'll be calling Jose in March. He's going to get me out of a five-year ARM that I had to get into for the last house that I bought.
No problem. And also, listen, tell all your buddies about student loans. You know, that's the next big bubble that we're facing here, $1.3 trillion in student loan debt. Over $100 billion is in default. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's drowning this country. And, you know, people aren't able to buy homes because of it, and you're going to have less homes to pick garbage out in front of because people aren't going to be able to buy homes with all the student loan debt. It's kind of scary. I went through it with the, you know, with the housing crisis, and I'm seeing the same thing in the student loan crisis. I mean, these kids nowadays, buddy, you know, I'm 47 and I'm calling them kids, but I don't know how you come out of college with $120,000, $130,000 worth of student loan debt and think you're going to make it. It's scary as heck out there, and you know, if you know anybody out there that's got student loan debt, keep us in mind. Lower My SLP is the website. That's who we send everybody to, and we could help all your friends and family, coworkers, neighbors, whatever, with their student loan debt. Okay, buddy?
Absolutely, will do, David.
All right, get back to work, and I'll talk to you soon. But I really appreciate it, Billy. There goes Bill. 312-642. I keep giving out the wrong number. 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. just goes to show you that people do appreciate hard work, and we work hard every day. It's hand-to-hand combat getting a loan done nowadays, folks. So my whole thing is that if your loan officer, me or anybody else, asks you for a document, don't fight with them. Just get it to them if you want to get your loan done. Seriously, I mean, it's exhausting of a process as it is, and if they want you to sign something one way, don't ask why. Just print it, sign it, and get it back. 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. That's the text line. That's the phone line. Credit reports, where to go to get your credit report, annualcreditreport.com, annualcreditreport.com. That is the place where you could get free credit reports. I recommend people go to our website, townstone.com, because if you type in annual wrong, it's going to take you to a website that's probably not suitable for kids. So go to townstone.com. There's a link on our website there that takes you right there. The difference between recreationally pulling your credit report and industrial pulling your credit report, I talk about this all the time. When you go to annualcreditreport.com, annualcreditreport.com, that's a recreational pull. You're not pulling it to get a mortgage. You're pulling it to find out recreationally what your scores are. When I pull your credit or a banker pulls your credit, it's a much tougher grading scale, kind of like this. In high school, when your teacher said, we're going to take a quiz and pull out a piece of paper and write the answers down, and you pull out a piece of paper and you make sure you take out number two pencil to write your answers down, and then you pass it to your buddy behind you that grades your paper, and your buddy's erasing your incorrect statements and you know answers and putting in the correct answer. All right, that's a recreational pull. An industrial pull is when you take the credit report, is when you take the test, i.e. credit report, and you pass it forward and the teacher takes it home at night, and then you get it back with all the red marks over it. Okay, that's an industrial pull. My credit report on the banking end, when we pull your credit report, is a lot stricter than when you go online and pull it. Okay, the difference between a 659 credit score and a 660 credit score over a 30-year period on a 30-year fixed loan can equal over $50,000. Yes, 1 point can equal over $50,000 over the life of your loan and mortgage payments. Okay, if you go to annualcreditreport.com, again, it's very, very tricky. Be very, very careful as you're entering that into your computer. You could also go to townstone.com, and we'll link you up directly with Annual Credit Report. It has all your creditors' names and phone numbers listed on the credit report, so if you want to dispute something, you could do it right from the credit report. Here's a question from Bill. I'm 70 years old. Haven't had credit in over 15 years. I recently applied for a Capital One credit card and would like to purchase a truck. Where is the best place to secure an auto loan? I was rejected 3 months ago for a loan because I didn't have any credit history, a 70-year-old guy without any credit history. And here's a question from Pam along the same lines of questioning. Why do you need credit to get a home equity loan if your home is paid off and I own it free and clear? I don't have any mortgage. Why do I need a credit score to get a mortgage? I have all this equity in my home, and they are still looking at my credit. Here's why. Here's why credit is important, folks. Credit is important because the credit scores determines your ability to secure the following. Credit cards, student loans, mortgage and home equity loans, car and business loans, jobs, renting an apartment, and getting car and homeowners insurance. Pam and Bill, previously two questions. If you have no credit, the banks that are giving you money have no way of knowing what your responsibility levels are to pay them back. That's why you need to have credit, and going off the grid like Bill has for the past 15 years, a 70-year-old man with no credit, and Pam owns her home free and clear, can't get access to the money because they don't have any credit scores. For the love of gosh, please, you need credit scores. 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. Website is WGN.FM. Text line, same number, 312-521-8600. It's very, 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 very important. Why do you need credit? Here's why. I broke it down in the following bullet points. You don't need credit if you never plan on, A, buying an airline ticket. Try going to O'Hare or Midway right now and buying an airline ticket for cash. Good luck with that one, okay? Renting a car. Try renting, going to Hertz, Avis, or National and renting a car. Negative. Securing a mortgage. We just saw what Pam went through trying to get a home equity line of credit on a home she owns free and clear without any credit history. securing a car loan. We just went through that with our 70-year young Bill, who had been off the grid for 15 years. Bill's tried to get a car loan. He got denied because he had no credit. So you need a credit score to get credit, okay, at a decent rate. Here's my favorite one. You don't need credit if you never plan on booking a hotel room in a hotel that doesn't charge by the hour. If you need help me understand explaining that one, there you go. You get it? You get it, Brian? You got that? You got that? Okay. I was watching 70s TV, and they used to rent rooms by the hour, and they weren't really flea bag hotels with interesting women working there. High school and college kids. Here's my tips for parents with high school and college-bound kids. 312-521-8600, WGN.FM. The presentation that I'm going over right now, I will email to you, and you'll be able to follow it when they post the video on WGN.FM, and we will post it on the Townstone Financial YouTube page so you can follow along. If you want a copy of the presentation, send me an email, thehousingguru@wgnradio.com. thehousingguru@wgnradio.com. Parents, give your children a loan and make them pay you back. Yes, I know in this day and age when kids get everything from their parents and never have to work for anything, teach them the responsibility. If they want something, buy it for them. But say you got to pay me back and have them pay you $5, $10 a month till it's paid back. Parents, you could add your children as an authorized user to your credit card, but they must be at least 18. Why is that safe for you? That's safe for you because you control it. You give your kid a credit card, your child charges on the credit card, you've got full access to those charges, and then your child pays you back based upon what they charge that month. It's very simple. Child pays his or her portion to you. Here's another tip. Open a secured credit card. You have to be of no age restrictions on a secured credit card. So you could have a 15-year-old, maybe school's not his or her thing and wants to go out on their own and start, I don't know, doing whatever. You could open up a secured credit card at any age. That's the best. You're on the grid early, start building your credit history early, and you'll start getting a credit reporting to the credit agencies, so you will have a credit history going into college and coming out of college when you want to buy your first car, your first home, whatever. Here's another tip. Open an unsecured credit card. Must be 18. You must qualify. It's tough to qualify for an unsecured credit card if you don't have any credit. That's why it's always good to open up a secured credit card first. And the other thing that parents could do is co-sign for loans for a little junior. But the problem is that if you co-sign for a loan and they don't pay the loan back or the credit card back, you're going down with the ship. So if your kid decides to blow you up. I had one this morning. Father co-signed for his son's student loan, over $60,000 worth of student loans. Problem is, kid lost his job, was underemployed, missed a bunch of payments. Father's credit score went down the toilet with the kids. Sucks, but it's true. Here's my tips to high school kids and college kids looking for credit. Don't believe everything you read on the internet, okay? Google isn't everything. Yahoo isn't everything. Facebook isn't everything. There are people out there that know more than what you read on the internet. Listen to your parents. Listen to people like me that do it for a living. Don't listen to your friends because your friends don't know what day it is, let alone how to build their credit. You're also not smarter than the system. I went out and started when I was 8, 9 years old. I opened up a Columbia Record of the Month Club. Remember those? For $1, you got 10 records. Well, I didn't read the negative 15 font where it says you had to buy a record for the next year at full price, and I kind of defeated the 10 records for a buck. Yeah, I had a nice big fat leather belt on my backside for my dad on that one. And last but not least, Marty Moose. We had a college fraternity brother of mine by the name of Marty Moose. He was actually a moose head that one of my group of pledge brothers stole on a road trip to the University of Illinois. They stole this moose, and one of my frat brothers had a 1987 New Yorker. And for everybody that remembers the 1987 New Yorkers, you get 6 caskets in the back of that trunk. And they put Marty Moose's head, the head of the moose, in the back of the trunk, and they brought it to the house up in Northern Illinois University, the Harvard of the Midwest, and put it on the wall. And then one night, one of the geniuses that were in my fraternity that I went to school with decided to start ordering stuff off the internet for Marty Moose. And we did that for about 2-3 months. Then all of a sudden, a postal inspector comes knocking on my door. And I happened to be the president of the fraternity at the time. And they said, hey, who's Marty Moose? I'm like, well, who would like to know? Shows me the badge. We're the postal inspector, son. Now's not the time to be a smart ass. I'm like, okay, let me bring you into the living room and show you Marty Moose. Pointed to Marty Moose on the wall. I go, sir, there's Marty Moose. Needless to say, the postal inspector was not happy. Needless to say, Marty Moose stopped getting mail at the fraternity house, and we were under double secret probation from the Postal Service for the rest of the semester. So they will come after you. Don't think all because you open up credit and don't pay it that they're not going to get you. They will get you because they are a lot smarter today than they were in 1987 when we pulled that crap and tried to get away with it. 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. My name is David Hochberg. I'm the housing guru here. If you want information about a loan, write me at thehousingguru@wgnradio.com, thehousingguru@wgnradio.com. You could also call me at the office, 312-896-2111, 312-896-2111. You can go to my website, which is townstone.com, to get all of our contact information as well. And here's a question from Mary. We're going to end it on this. What should I pay first when I have credit card debt and student loans? What percentage of credit card debt can you owe before it brings negative ratings? Okay, well, first of all, Mary, what you should pay down is the highest interest rate. Typically, the credit cards are the highest interest rate. So I would pay down the credit cards first because the student loans, or most of them, are on a fixed rate plan. So I would pay the credit cards down first, let the credit scores increase, and then that way you could then look to consolidate your student loan debt into a lower payment. What percent of credit card debt can you owe before it brings negative ratings? Anything over 25% of the balance of your allowable limit on your credit card will start negatively impacting your credit scores. That's why I always recommend that you pay your credit cards off every Friday, because you never exceed 1 week's worth of charges. That way you keep your percentages low. 312-896-2111, 312-896-2111. Go to our website, which is townstone.com. My name is David Hochberg. If you want to reach me during the week, I just gave the phone number out, 312-896-2111. Website is townstone.com. You could also go to WGN.FM, get a podcast of this show within the next couple hours. Big Bri Jones, BJ is going to be, Brian Jones, going to be putting it up, editing it, and putting it up on the internet within the next couple hours. I appreciate you joining the show. We'll be back tomorrow with the Total Men's Health Show with Dr. McGuire.